Father, thank you today for your goodness to us. God, thank you today that you're still in the restoration business. God, thank you today you're still putting Humpty Dumpty back together. God, thank you today that you're patient with Humpty Dumpty as we realize how broken we are. God, thank you today that you're slow to anger and abounding in love. And God, we could just keep going and keep going and keep going. But we'll look at your word and say thank you for that. Share a few thoughts and thank you for that. And God, I pray today that can we just prepare our hearts for the Word of God to find some good soil so some seeds can be planted and produce a righteous harvest? We need some righteousness being produced. And I pray, God, you would prepare our hearts for those seeds. We bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue our series today entitled, Let's Clean House. Now, I know most of you, that brings images of like awesomeness. Because I'm sure that most of you in here, you can't wait to clean house. Okay? Now, if you're like me at sometimes, I just sometimes rearrange the dirt. But God's not a dirt rearranger. God's a holy God, a living God, a purposeful God. And when He cleans house, He means business. Because God doesn't just look at what's the obvious dirt. He says, let me open those closet doors. Let me go into the nooks, the crannies, the places where nobody else looks. How many times have you been cleaning your house over the years because someone was coming and you think, I've got it, and they show up and you look up and, oh, I forgot about those cobwebs. Oh, I forgot about that spilt whatever in the refrigerator. I didn't clean that out. Oh, I forgot that they might go in that room. So forth and so on. God hasn't forgotten and He's not going to forget, and He's interested in the deep, tender spots of our heart today. We should say amen because He's interested in you. You think about something this morning. We live in a time and a culture like never before of the immense brokenness, the immense depravity, the immense desperation. Do you understand today that we come before a living God saying, I am desperate. I am desperate. Do you understand the cry of your heart is desperate for more? Or have you decided, like when I clean house sometimes, that rug over there really doesn't look that bad. I can live with it that way. Because if we as the followers of Christ live with it that way, then what are the non-followers of Christ looking at? They're looking at a group of people that says they can just get by on their own. God's not a get-by God. And He's not interested in us getting by on our own. He's asking us to come with a complete dependence upon Him. And today our subject matter is rejection versus acceptance. It's an easy one to talk about, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't that easy? Rejection, being accepted. We know all the right answers. God loves me. Did you act like it this week? God wants me. Did you think like it this week? I am the child of God. Is that the way you interacted with your family and coworkers this week? Or would they have said, I think they were the child of somebody else. I don't know about the child of God, but that's not who I encountered. Rejection, acceptance. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. He took up a large portion of the book of Genesis. We got Abraham, we got Isaac, we got Jacob. Then here all of a sudden, here comes Joseph. So let's pick up the story as he is a young boy. Joseph's dream. Jacob lived where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brother, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. His father's wives, they weren't whole brothers. And he brought their father a bad report about him. Joseph was a tattletale. No one likes a tattletale. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. If it was written, it must have been obvious. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and it made an ornate robe for him. You know, Joseph's many coat of colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, and he was a tattletale, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. They were in the process of, get away from me, Joseph. I'm rejecting you. But Joseph had a dream. He was a teenager about this time, by the way. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, here's the dream. It's awesome. Guess what you guys get to do? I dreamed that we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while you guys gathered around me and bowed down. Now, wouldn't you love it if your family member showed up and said, hey, I'm going to rule over you one day? That's awesome news. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? They were older than Joseph. Will you actually rule over us? And they hated him all the more. So now he's a tattletale, an arrogant so-and-so, and he has the audacity to let them know it because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. It just keeps piling on. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon, mom and dad, and the 11 stars, you boys, were bowing down to me. So now mom and dad and the family gets to bow down to me. Then he went and told his father as well as his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? I'm sure Jacob, like, when will this boy learn? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him. By the way, the English doesn't do a great version right there of that, jealous of him. They despised him. They loathed him. But his father kept the matter in mind. He didn't forget that God had spoken. Jacob recognized that God had spoken to his son, even though he wasn't happy. So what happens to Joseph next? So when Joseph came to his brothers after Jacob had sent him out into the field to check on them again, because he knew Joseph was a tattletale, they stripped him of his robe, you know, that really beautiful robe he was wearing, and they took him and they threw him into a cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, Judah was the oldest, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. So now he's gone down to Egypt. And some things happen. I'm not going to read those. I'm going to give you the highlights. They carry him down. He's late teenage life, late 17, 18. So he finds his way into Egypt. First thing that happens, they sell him to a guy named Potiphar, kind of an important guy in Egypt. He had a wife. Joseph must have been a pretty good-looking guy. Potiphar's wife noticed him, said, he's a pretty good-looking guy. So she kept hitting on him. But Joseph, even though had a little bit of a history of being a tattletale and kind of could be full of himself by telling these dreams over and over, he still had a wherewithal of knowing, wait a second, I serve the living God, and the living God says that I will not be with a woman that's not my wife. Potiphar's wife wanted him. Joseph said, no, thank you. So one day, he runs out of the house. She grabs the coat off of him. Potiphar comes in and says, what just happened? Potiphar says, hey, what just went on just then? His wife said, oh, Joseph tried to assault me. So Potiphar says, time to go to jail. Sent Joseph off to jail, stayed there for a while, and he met two guys. He met a baker and the cupbearer to the king, to Pharaoh, the top dog in Egypt. Kind of important to the story, so follow me on this, okay? So he's in the prison. God never loses sight of him. The Bible says he never forgot about Joseph. While he's there, the cupbearer and the baker have some dreams. Joseph's a dream expert by now, right? So they tell him this dream. He interprets the dream for them. One is good news, meaning the cupbearer will be exalted to the back into his position. The baker, not so good news. His exaltation will take place with his head being lifted up. Not in a good, endearing way. Okay? So he has these dreams. These guys get released. The dreams are fulfilled. Joseph says to the cupbearer, remember me when you're in the house of Pharaoh, what I did. Well, he got busy watching reality TV and forgot all about Joseph until one day Pharaoh had a dream. You see how God's weaving things he's done before? Okay? God is blessing Joseph even in prison. But Pharaoh says, I've had these dreams. No one can interpret them. What are we going to do? And then the cupbearer, he wakes up. He says, I knew a guy in prison. So he says, really, who is it? This is a guy named Joseph. He says, get him up here. Pharaoh tells him the dreams. Two times the same dream, but in different ways. Joseph interprets the dream correctly. There will be 7 years of abundant food. There will be 7 years of famine. Very significant when Whole Foods and Lucky's and Publix had not opened yet. That you would say, I've got 7 years of abundance and I got 7 years of what? Did you just say? Joseph tells them the truth. Pharaoh realizes it's the word of God, even though Pharaoh would not acknowledge God. He realizes that Joseph is speaking on behalf of God. So Pharaoh immediately, talk about a trip from the outhouse to the penthouse. Joseph went from the outhouse of prison to number two in charge of Egypt. God can do those things if we're willing to just stay the course, even if we don't understand everything. That's extra today. No charge on that thought, okay? So what happens? He takes care of this famine thing. He comes up with a grand plan to keep 7 years of abundance stored up for the 7 years of famine. The years of famine happen. The famine doesn't just happen in Egypt. It happens all the way up to the land of Canaan. Who lived there? Jacob, his wives, his brothers, and all of his clan lived there. Jacob hears that there's food in Egypt. So he says to Joseph's brothers, go down and get us some food. So they go down. Joseph runs into them because you have to go before Joseph to allow who gets the food. You can't just show up, use your debit card, and carry off the food that you want. You have to prove that you need the food for how many people, for how long. You have to go through a lot of steps. And Joseph's the man that checks off on it. So his brothers go before him one time. And Joseph realizes whose it is. But instead of giving himself away, he decides he would toy with them a little bit. I mean, not in a fun way, not in a sarcastic way. He messes with them and makes them believe that he is punishing them. He does some trickery. He makes a brother stay behind and does some things. This is taking the course of years. Does some things. So they go back to the land of Canaan. His brothers report, hey, this joker in Egypt let us have some food, but he kept my brother. And Jacob is very upset. Jacob is very, very upset. He thinks Joseph is dead, and now he's starving, and now he's lost another son. We're not talking good news on good news on good news. We're talking about rejection, 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 rejection. So the second time the brothers have to go back to Egypt to get more food, Joseph cannot take it any longer. He wants to see his family. He wants to see the people he loves. He did not tell them the dream out of spite. He told them out of the fact that he thought God was speaking. He was trying to get them to see that God was up to something. So now, about 13 years later, his brothers show up for the second time to get food and to get the brother. Unbeknownst to them, Joseph said, I've had enough. John? Then Joseph no longer could control himself. Before all of his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly with the Egyptians that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's house heard about it. He was overwrought, I believe, with emotion. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Remember the last time they saw him, he was being hauled off to Egypt about 13 years before that. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt, and now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here. It wasn't you rejecting me. It was God having a plan to use me. But God, He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. So we see his brothers trying to reject him, trying to send him away. There was animosity, there was jealousy, there was bitterness, there was hatred, there was conflict. I'm sure in your family there's no conflict, so that word might be foreign to you. But there was a divide here, and the divide caused a rejection. And God was working it in His miraculous, all-powerful way to say, no, there's going to be a wholeness, an acceptance, a oneness, a together, a bringing of one together, which is huge because we are so quick to get in the middle of whatever we're in the middle of, good, bad, or indifferent, and forget about that God is working outside of all that. God was working in and through all this all the time. He didn't have a plan to irritate or aggravate. He had a plan to save lives. And part of your acceptance today of how much God values you is about saving lives. We have never lived in a culture and a time where there are more lost people. When I say lost, I mean utterly on their way to hell. Okay? They're not going to detour to a side street. They're on their way down. They're not on their way up. You and I have to understand, come to this turn, this agreement with ourselves at times and say, I got to believe the truth. I need to walk in the truth. I've got to stop the lies. I got to clean house. I got to work. Got to put in the heavy lifting. Can't sweep the corners out and put it in another corner. I want the whole house clean, pristine. God is a God of love. So let's look at some issues of rejection. Here are some types for you to think about. I don't have time to cover this subject unless you want to stay till tomorrow with me. If you're interested in staying with tomorrow, then guess what? You'll probably be here by yourself and I'll come back and see you tomorrow. Types of rejection, but we're going to get to that at the end. You have been rejected. Yeah, there are people in your life, and there might be somebody right now, they're trying to push you away. They like to send you to Egypt. They have said and done things that have intimated and indicated and just flat out been honest and said, I don't want anything to do with you. And you have felt that, and you have owned it, and you have taken it to heart and believed it to be the truth about who you are. There are people that do that. And maybe in your own life, you've been not just a victim, but maybe you have participated in that. So there is rejection. There's fear of rejection. There's perceived rejection. I'll give you a quick understanding of that one just real quick. Like I said, I can't cover everything in detail. I got a friend of mine. He's a really good friend of mine. He and I are about the same age. And he'll tell me from time to time, he still struggles with when he walks into a room, if there's a group of people over here just talking, his first thought is, oh Lord, they're talking about me. Even though he knows it's not the truth, he still struggles with perceived rejection. And then self-rejection. You can give lip service all day, every day, and twice on Sundays that you love yourself, but only thing you're really doing is saying the words over and over. You struggle with being in that truth. You struggle with the fact that I really can love myself because God really does love me. Think about all the thoughts that would have gone through Joseph's mind. This little caravan from Canaan down to Egypt, it wasn't the flight from Savannah to Atlanta. That's about 20 minutes if you've never flown it, okay? This was a long time to muddle in misery, to muddle with, look what my family has done. Listen to me very carefully, okay? Because I don't have time to hold back today, okay? How much did Joseph struggle with his father ruined with, where was Jacob when I needed him? Where was Dad when I needed him? Where was my dad that's supposed to protect me? Where was my dad when I needed him? Said he loved me. Where was he? You think about that trip. You think how many talks you've had with yourself just recently. Where are you today? If what you believe does not conform to the truth, then what you feel does not conform to reality. Ponder that statement for a moment. If what you believe does not conform to the truth, then what you feel does not conform to reality. What was Joseph's reality by the time he arrived in Egypt? Don't really know. He went from being king of the hill in Canaan, dad's top man, to now he's a servant. But God was in all of it. God was in all of it. He's a big picture God. He's a big picture God. So there's some types of rejection. Think about it. Mull it for a moment as you think about the life of Joseph, intertwined with his brothers and his family. Being in Potiphar's house, being once more rejected by somebody else. Somebody believed somebody else. Potiphar believed his wife over Joseph, and it cost him to go to prison. So one more time, Joseph gets rejected. But now he's got time to think about even more things. So as we think about types of rejection, let's look at some causes. And again, I don't have time to give you all of it. Basically, can I just tell you something? I basically said the same thing in five different ways. Okay? Because there's 100 different ways to say it. So causes of rejection, you've been told lies about your self-worth. Believing that you've been abandoned. Told lies about being loved. Believing you don't have what it takes. Distorted view of God. You isolate yourself. You believe God has rejected you. You don't allow others to see things that are dear to your heart. If I could get a show of hands today, you're not going to do it, but if I could get a show of hands, because I guarantee you right now, I'm going to put mine up before I even say it. You ready for this one? Do you struggle receiving compliments? Do you struggle when someone wants to come up and just simply say something like, you know, I just love you, Brian. And your first thought, not yours necessarily, Brian, but your first thought is, why would anybody that doesn't really know me take the time to tell me they love me? I want you to think about your family member. I want you to think about your coworkers. I want you to think about people to go to school with. You can't tell me that those lies are piled in heaps around the people we know. In case you don't know somebody, I'll get my list out for you and I'll send it to you later of the people I know. Told lies about your self-worth. Believing you've been abandoned. Told lies about being loved. Believing you don't have what it takes and distorted view of God. We could list all those about ourselves and Joseph and more. Because maybe you need to take a few moments this morning and rephrase those. What is the causes for you? What are the causes for you? You know what? Something that hurts my heart all the time. And it takes everything I've got some days just not to choke people. And I do mean that literally. I don't have time to sugarcoat it. I mean it literally. When I hear, I can't tell you over the course of my life, 49 years and counting. I was hoping someone would say you look good for 49, but oh well. All right. Thanks. That I've heard a parent with a child and the child is misbehaving. The child is misbehaving. And the parent will say something like this, why did I ever have you? I should have stopped after the first one. Really? Tell me something. What do you think a teenage man or woman in an orphanage today in America thinks about all those? What do you think Joseph was thinking on the wagon? Probably didn't have good air shocks on that wagon. Was he in the struggle? Bible doesn't really tell us, but I do know this. We put Joseph in the Bible, and that's cool and all that, but there was only one perfect man in the Bible that didn't struggle with those, and it wasn't Joseph. So let's don't lie to ourselves today and say we've never struggled or we're not struggling or we don't know somebody that doesn't struggle, because the salt and the light sometimes have to start with, are we being salt and the light to ourselves? Is the salt and the light working on us? Is the salt and the light making a change in our lives? This is life or death right here. This is real cleaning. This is real work. We're not here today to do God a favor. We're here to do work. So what are we going to do about it today? Oh, if it was only as easy as what I put on the overhead. Reject the lies and accept the truth. Let's go home. Amen. There's a book in the Bible called Song of Solomon. It's a romantic book. I don't know if you've ever have taken the time to read it. I can promise you this much. If they ever made a movie out of it, it would be rated where we couldn't watch it. It's pretty to the point. But early on it says, my beloved is mine and I am his. Song of Solomon. If you could just believe that one thing today. My beloved is mine and I am his. Accept you are loved and accept it through Jesus. He is the restorer. The Old Testament calls God the Father the repairer of broken walls. There's some brokenness. There's some cracks. I need some repairing. Accept you are loved and accept it through Jesus. It says in Deuteronomy 3:16, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Of who? How about the lies today? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's in it to the end because he was in it in the beginning. And he'll be there long after the lies are gone. But today is the day to start to walk in the truth. John, transform your mind. And Dusty likes to say this, so since he's not here, I did do it in his honor since he wasn't going to be here. Stop the stinking thinking. He loves to say that. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think when Joseph met up with his brothers at the end, it may have taken 13 years plus, but I think he finally realized something. Hey, boys, it's not about you, and it's not about me, it's about him. And that's hard. It's a hard when our worth is so much based upon what other people think about us. Amen? It's hard to fight through that lie some days. It's hard to think, I want to be as awesome as I know God intends for me to be, but when I screw it up, do I wallow in the pity party or am I willing to get up and say, let's get it on again? Because, you know, I kind of keep it simple for us. Cry out for God's help. Forgive those who have rejected you. Get some people around you that trust you and love you and will speak the truth, but it's truth in love so you can be whole and restored. And that part about let's talk, remember what I said to you earlier? We could be here till tomorrow. This won't be we check a box, go home, and go off to ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after today. Because it's either your heart at stake today, or it's somebody's close to your heart at stake today, or it's somebody you're going to come in contact with's heart at stake today. If you pause for just a minute and would be really honest with yourself, can you say this week that you walked in the fullness of God's love as He intends for you to experience it? I didn't say was the week easy. I didn't say was the week all great and with no challenges. I said, did you walk this week in the fullness of the love of God as He intends to pour it upon you and in you? Because the love of God never left Joseph. It never forsook him. It never abandoned him. And it never rejected him. God had a plan and He needed Joseph in a certain place. Could Joseph have gotten there a different way? Maybe, maybe not. But you know, sometimes God's got to knock the stuff off of us that doesn't look like Him. And I think in the meantime, going to Egypt and sitting down in Egypt and seeing all that, I think Joseph had some, he had some thinking time. I think he had some real thinking time. And I think he started to see the hand of God upon his life, just like the hand of God is upon your life, just like it's on my life. And we don't get to choose tomorrow if we don't want to be salt and light, because that's who we are, and that's who God says we are. And also God says He is love and we are the instruments of those love. James, one of the songs he sang a while ago was, "Oh, Come to the Altar." It'll be 2 years ago this spring. I was sitting at home. I was watching a sermon by Big John Gray, one of my favorite guys to watch. He's a pastor out of Texas. He preaches with some passion now. I mean, he's the kind of guy that can tell you about going out and cleaning the house and you've been wanting to run out and clean the house, okay? And he was giving this sermon on music, and he was giving this sermon on how God gives music to generations, different music to different generations. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Because he started singing, and I was sitting there, and he was just singing by himself to his audience. And here's what he's saying. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are wide open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I never heard that song till right then. But I didn't have to wonder if God was speaking. Because then I pulled it up for the very Elevation, who sings that song originally and wrote it. I knew that God had said, today, you need this. You thought you were doing something else, Dane, but today you need those. You needed that. I began to cry, thinking, he's done it again. Joke's on me. Thought I'd just watch a guy like to hear online. The Father's arms are wide open. Got one more story for you. For those in this room that have read the book Whisper, this story should seem very familiar. A long time ago in the 1900s, there was a teacher named Mrs. Leonard. And she had a student named Marianne Bird. And this student, she was in grade school. She was born with a cleft palate. She had many, many surgeries. She had a lot of scars. Her surgery, this was early 1900s, so the technology wasn't as it is today. It caused her to go deaf in one ear. So she had to go to school and listen to all the commentary by all the people asking the questions. What happened to you? What's going on with you? So one, she was singled out. But two, she knew she wasn't accepted, or she thought she wasn't. And then three, she couldn't even hardly hear. So the stack seemed to be being stacked against her until. There was a teacher named Mrs. Leonard. And in those days, and a lot of you in this room will remember the whisper test. You didn't put headphones on, you didn't listen to little beeps. Some of you can remember when a teacher or someone in the school would call you forward and they'd whisper into one ear and then the other, and you'd have to acknowledge that you actually heard what they said. Mrs. Leonard knew about Mary Ann Byrd. And Mary Ann Byrd had a little system because she was embarrassed by all the things in her life that seemed to make her stand out. Her family loved her, by the way. Mary Ann Byrd would come to this whisper test and she would cup her good ear so she could hopefully hear what was spoken, in her good ear and her bad ear, so she maybe could still hear to answer the question. She didn't want anybody to know she was deaf. But Mrs. Leonard knew the truth. And so when Mary Ann Byrd come forward, she whispered these words. Instead of the usual words of, the sky is blue, the sun is outside, something simple. She whispered these words. And these are the words that I'm telling you right now, somebody in this room needs to hear. You ready? I wish you were my daughter. I wish you were my daughter. Changed everything for Mary Ann Byrd. Changed everything. For the first time outside her family, someone who didn't have to, got to say, I accept you. You are not rejected. You're accepted. When Joseph saw his brothers, he could have done and said a lot of things, but he said to them, God had something more, but we're back together again. What happened after that? They went home and got Jacob, brought him down. What a great reunion. They went to the land of Goshen. That's basically the sheep raising area of Egypt. And then the rest is history. They spent a few hundred years being slaves. And a little guy named Moses let them out after all that. God has a plan in the middle of all this. But it's hard to hear the voice of God when we're choosing to listen to the other voices of rejection. It is hard. But maybe the most important thing is how will your hearing affect somebody else's hearing? Because all of us, every single one of us, every single day, I believe, has the chance to put forth the truth, which is life, which is love, which is changing. And I want you to embrace that today. I want you to embrace that for the fullness of who God is calling you to be and who He wants to be, who He needs you to be. Surround it by legion of brokenness, brokenness in this world. How much different would it be one generation from now if the church Jesus Christ, the follower of Christ, would love the brokenness and accept and say, come on in. I want to tell you about somebody. Just read a story yesterday, my Voice of the Martyrs little Pray for app, about a young lady that was in Slavic as a prison. Guard would come in every single day and beat on her. Say, I want you to tell me about your church. And she says, I won't tell you about my church, but I'll tell you about my boyfriend who loves me. One day he finally knocked her unconscious. She woke up. He's sitting over in the corner crying. He says, I got to know about your boyfriend. That someone, you believe someone loves you so much that you could take this every day. She said, what's his name? He said, what's his name? What do you think she said? Jesus. Jesus. He ordered her to baptize him after she told him about her boyfriend, Jesus. Let's just pray. James, you come on up. You have your cards and your envelopes. Guys, I know I covered a lot today. If it was quick and simple, then it would be quick and simple, but would you get all that God has for you today? Because this isn't about this moment. This is about the moments from the past, the present, and going into the future. Let's just begin to pray. James gets ready to play some music for us. Well, this time of these next few minutes, you got your cards and your envelopes, by the way. You can be filling all that stuff out. God, these next few moments, what are you stirring? I mean, where's the starting place for us? God, will we give you permission to touch the tender spots? As you continue to listen to God, what is He saying to you? What is He speaking to you? Clear your mind of all the things you need to do today or tomorrow, this week. Forget all that for a moment. It'll still be there when you get back to it. Father, we honor you. This is about honoring you because you've accepted us and you started right where we were and you'll start right where we are today. You're a holy God, merciful God. God, I know you're touching some tender spots, but it's out of love. It's not out of any evil intention. because you care and you love and you're cleaning house and you're moving. Well, the truth is, I cannot explain your goodness because I see it through my humanness. But I want to see it through the Spirit. I want to catch a glimpse of you today for who you really are. Rick and Regina, if you want to come on down, the altar is open. If you want to come and pray with somebody, Kathy and I will be up here, and Rick and Regina will be up here. You can go get somebody else, by the way. It's not just about the four of us. You can bring your cards and your envelopes at this time. Father, we trust your stirring in this brief time together, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. I just want to pray for you again. I'm going to say it one more time. I know this was a lot. I had a head start. I got to deal with it all week long. It's a good story. God's up to good things in your life. Let Him love on you today. Let's pray. Father, why are we here? For your glory and your honor. God, I pray you'd show us some things today as we leave here. Where do we toil and labor and spend, as your word says, that's in vanity? God, where do we allow the lies to attack us? God, I pray we'd be wise. I pray, God, that we would be mindful that we have the armor of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. But we have you. Lord, I pray we'd walk in truth. Live and love in truth. Glory and honor to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you.